Sie hören ein Interview mit Etienne Wenger anlässlich seines Vortrages Communities of Practice in Education, gehalten am 1. September 2010 in Neufeld an der Leitha. Das Interview führt Christina Merl.
Okay, so we are here at the beautiful Lake Neufeldersee here, mm-hmm. and we've had an exciting workshop with you this afternoon about mm-hmm. communities of practice. And I think there's really big interest in communities of practice. So what's your impression after this half-day workshop?
So my first impression is that I'm very pleased that this interest is there. I hope that people understand the community of practice principle well enough not to use it just for this and that in a light way, because the concept could get a bad reputation if it is used without an understanding of what it really takes. Mm-hmm. So it's both exciting and at the same time we have to be cautious that we don't create a hype that then gives the concept a bad name.
Yeah, okay. So at the beginning of your talk this afternoon, mm-hmm. you said the 21st century is going to be the century of identity. Mm-hmm. I'd like to know really, what does that mean for teachers now that we're here talking in an educational context?
I think for teacher, what it really means is that the big problems that students have, the primary problem, let's say, because there are others, but the primary problems that students have is developing a productive identity in their life. You see, it's not access to information. Mm-hmm. So what a teacher can provide for students, which Google cannot provide, is not access to information, but interaction with a meaningful identity. Mm-hmm. You see? And so I think teachers have to start thinking about themselves not as simply instrument to transmit a curriculum, but as a person with an identity that can then interact with the student in a way that gives the student a meaningful context mm-hmm. to develop themselves, to develop who they are.
Mm-hmm. And how can communities of practice help them to do so?
Well, I think those are two different questions, okay? Mm-hmm. So it seems to me that if the teachers have an understanding that they have to transform their practice, then belonging to a community of practice where they do this together can be a really good context for doing so. But you see what I mean? So there is a question of, is there something new about being a teacher in the 21st century? Mm-hmm. And then the other question is, if that something new would require a teacher to actually transform their practice, is there a context in which that transformation can happen productively? Mm-hmm. And I think that it is the case that a community of practice can be a transformative medium, if you will, because But not inherently. You see, the problem with a community of practice is that it can be very conservative also, mm-hmm. you see. But if people are ready to change, if people are ready to try something new, then a community of practice can be a very good context for developing the practice of it. Mm-hmm. You see, not just the idea of it, but how do you actually do that in your daily life?
Mm-hmm. And what would you recommend teachers to really do now in their daily life? Is there any recommendation coming from you now after this workshop that they are a little more familiar with the concept of communities of practice, what is meant here? What should they really do? What could they change in their daily practice?
I think there are two things. One is that they could ask themselves the question is, should I belong to a community of practice? Would that help me? Okay. Could I use that kind of collegial partnership with other teachers? And the answer may be yes or no. I'm not pushing that, but I'm just saying I think it would be an interesting question to ask mm-hmm. teachers, for the teachers to ask themselves, mm-hmm. what would that do for me if I was given the time, or if I had an opportunity to engage in a sustained learning partnership mm-hmm. with other people who are teachers? And then, of course, what should we do? Who are these other people? What should we do together? What other voices should be involved? Should the kids become part of our community or be invited in our community so we have a perspective, the parents? See, only that once you start entering this notion of a social discipline of learning, there are all sorts of questions about whose voice needs to be brought into the learning process.
Mm-hmm.
So I think these are a new set of questions
mm-hmm.
for teachers to ask themselves.
Mm-hmm.
And then about the way that they teach and the way that they organize the classroom, I think the concept of community of practice, which is a very natural concept, a mode of learning that human beings have used, you know, since the beginning of history. And then they could ask, what could I learn from a concept like this for the way that I create a learning system in my classroom? Not necessarily create a community of practice in the classroom. I think that may be the wrong ambition. But say, are there things that I could learn from the way a community of practice function to create? Because, see, in a community of practice, one of the big difference between a classroom and a community of practice as modes of learning is that in a community of practice, meaning is always the driver. Meaningfulness is always a driver of the learning process, as opposed to a classroom, it's more the curriculum that is the driver of the learning process, and with the hope that meaning will come someday. See, you tell kids, you'll appreciate this when you grow up, you know?
Yeah.
And so, I'm not saying that a classroom can be fully a community of practice, but it could adopt more of those qualities.
Mm-hmm. So, and the way towards reaching this goal is just interaction between teachers, communication, exchanging ideas, exchanging experiences, or how could they get there?
Well, I mean, I think that at least for me, for my own ambition, you need to have to develop more of a language. You see what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
It's like, it's very difficult to change what you do unless you develop a new language to talk about your practice,
mm-hmm.
you know? And
mm-hmm.
so, you know, my own work, like I was doing today with the teachers, is to try to invite them into understanding this learning theory, which is simply a certain language to take a certain perspective on human learning. And so I would say that understanding that language would be an important thing,
mm-hmm.
you know, because otherwise a community of practice has a good chance of just reproducing what people have done so far. You see what I mean? So there's nothing inherently innovative in a community of practice.
Mm-hmm.
It's just that if an innovative idea comes in, then a community of practice can be a good fertile ground
mm-hmm.
to translate that innovative idea into something that people can do
mm-hmm.
because of the focus on practice, you see?
So
but I think you have to have, if you want innovation, you have to have the interaction of both.
Mm-hmm.
New perspective, new language, and then a community of practice to give it reality,
mm-hmm.
you know?
So does that mean it's all about doing on the one hand, and that it's also a mix of bottom up and top down?
I think probably bottom-up of Donna is a bit tricky
mm-hmm.
to say, you see, because when I talk with teachers about the learning theory that I'm developing, I don't think it's top-down, because it's not like one is higher than the other. It's more like I have a practice, which is a practice of developing theory. They have a practice, which is a practice of teaching kids, and we have to find a way that those two practices can talk to each other, because it is often at the boundary between practices that innovation happens,
mm-hmm.
you see? And so today, what I think we witnessed was an interaction between two practices that were trying to find meaningful ways to talk to each other. So I think it's not so much top-down or bottom-up, but it is more boundary versus core. Right?
Mm-hmm.
That in order for a practice to be alive, it has to both have a strong sense of shared value and shared goals and shared practice, at the same time as never become close, always bring in things from other practices to keep it on its toes.
Mm-hmm.
See?
So if you can sum up your key message to Austrian teachers today, what would that be? After today's experience,
I think that if I could sum it up, is we are in the 21st century, kids. Let's pay attention to what our students really need to become in order to become citizen of this planet.
Okay. Thank you so much for your time.
Sie hörten einen Podcast der Pädagogischen Hochschule Wien, abrufbar unter Creative Commons License http://podcampus.phwien.ac.at.